As we noted, the signing of the bill is an important victory for activists who've been fighting for the rights of gay and lesbian Americans. Today, we hear from a journalist who's been working for decades to cover the stories that matter most to that community. From civil rights marches to political campaigns to hate crimes, Lou Chibaro Jr. has covered it all, working as a reporter for the Washington Blade. The newspaper was founded 40 years ago this month as the Gay Blade, and Chibaro has worked there for 3 decades himself, from a time when many of the Blade's writers kept their sexuality and their real names a secret, to today when their reporters are out in front reporting stories on the local and national stage. And Lou Chibaro Jr. joins us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Nice to be here.
Why did the founders of the paper feel there was a need for a gay-oriented paper?
They basically felt this information was not available elsewhere. So we started very small. I was not with it at the very beginning. But right from the beginning, though, they determined two things. One, that it should cover information that we were not getting, that the community collectively was not getting through the mainline press. And number two, that it would be supportive and sympathetic to the overall community, but it would not be an arm of some of the gay movement organizations that were in existence then.
Why did you want to write for The Blade?
I guess I started writing for it. It goes back, I hate to say it, but 1976 was my first story as a freelancer. And when I came to the determination that I was gay and a member of the gay community, I was interested in politics and current events. I was in the reporting field already. So I thought this is an interesting subject to report on, and that's how it started.
Do you mind telling me how you came out?
Yes, I was in the very much involved in current events. I first came to Washington as a student in a Washington semester program from the State University of New York, in the thick of politics and the thick of public events. But I didn't really come to the full realization or take that bold step, as many people do when they do realize they're gay, until I started working as a reporter and finally had a chance just to contemplate, well, where am I coming from? And so it was at that time, right around between 74 and 75, that I came to that determination and acted on it by getting as much information as I could from the very community that I knew nothing about at first.
I understand that your first byline for The Blade, the Gay Blade at the time, was a pseudonym, Lou Romano. Is that right?
That's right. And the reason was that at that time, The Blade did not have the financial resources to pay a full-time staff. So I was working elsewhere. I was working at the time when I first started for a newsletter company that reported on energy and environment issues. And I thought that it probably, even if I came out to them, and I wasn't sure how they would receive me if I did, they wouldn't be comfortable for me working for another or writing for another publication anyway, even if it were not gay-related.
That was going to be my question. Was it because it was gay-related that you felt you had to hide your identity?
That was part of it. That certainly was part of it. We didn't know what would happen if I were to go into another part of journalism, whether this would be an impediment if they knew. Most of the writers then did use a pseudonym. That changed right around 1978, and the editor at that point preferred that people use their real names.
What made you start using your real name?
What happened was I was covering a story of a fire in Washington, D.C., of the Cinema Follies. It was a gay adult movie theater. 8 or 9 men died. And it turned out, as they were identified, most were unknown to be gay by their families and their coworkers. And it evolved into a story about the closet, and some said the prison of the closet. And I thought to myself, this, I think, is no longer appropriate for me. And I said, it's time. So I just use my real name.
To that point, how have you, as a reporter over the years, addressed this question of people and whether they disclose their identities or not? You know, there have been stories where, say, public figures or people who have been critical of the gay community have been found to be gay. I'm thinking about the former Maryland Congressman Bob Bauman Jr., who was married, came from a conservative district, but then who eventually revealed that he was gay, but only after a set of circumstances. For example, he had been involved in a number of sort of physical confrontations where he'd been beaten up. And so then the question becomes, do you disclose this person's identity or not? If you have a strong reason to believe or know that this person's gay, but who's living in a sort of a public way, not. How have you addressed that as a reporter over the years?
Well, that's always been a very tough question, the issue of outing, as it's often referred to. And at The Blade, we've discussed that in great detail over the years. And almost always, we do respect individuals' wishes to remain confidential, unless they seem to be actively working against the rights of the gay community. And that has happened with some members of Congress. There is one other instance, too, where it's very difficult, but in covering the crime beat over the years, there's been a number of murders. Some have been gay bashings, but others have been known as pickup murders, and some think they are a form of gay bashing, where a individual might go to a gay bar with the purpose of targeting a gay person and maybe getting himself invited to that person's home and then beating him up and stealing and robbing. And sometimes that's led to murder, and often the murders go unsolved, and the police need information from the community and others to try to find out who the perpetrators are. So we have often reported that these individuals were gay upon their death because we feel the overriding concern is who else may be a victim. And the more important consideration is to help the authorities track down and make an arrest rather than possibly sparing a family a little embarrassment because their loved one is gay.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with longtime Washington Blade reporter Lou Chibaro Jr. Have you ever had a time when you were reporting on something you just thought, this just hits too close to home, I have to put this down, I just can't do it?
It came close with AIDS. We were covering that from the very beginning. I was there. And, you know, in the early years when there was really no hope other than community support, it was kind of tragic because, you know, so many were dying. Our obituaries were just growing exponentially.
And you're saying, why was it tough? Was it just because you were losing people?
We were losing people, including some of our staff. So, you know, you have to try to build the strength among your friends and supporters and move on.
What keeps you at it? A lot of people think of journalism as a young person's game, as it were. I remember Barbara Walters talking about this. I mean, she's obviously still in it and has been doing this for a long time, but I had the opportunity to have an interview with her, and she was talking at one point about how, you sort of get tired of beating on people's doors and, you know, standing outside the door waiting for it to open. And do you ever think, enough already?
You sometimes think that, but I find that there's always something new coming around the corner. And if you're interested in government and politics, this gives us a chance. Some people say, well, don't you get tired of reporting on this same subject only? But this same subject cuts across a lot of lines. I get a chance to cover the Supreme Court, the Congress, the White House, the military, the Department of Health and Human Services. So I find those area is very interesting, and you always have to learn something new as each story develops.
Do you have any wisdom to share?
That's always a tough question.
Well, if you were talking to another you, a younger you, somebody out there who's starting his or her career.
I would say it's a great field, and I would say keep at it. Do what you can to move in the direction that you're interested. The world is changing in terms of the venues, whether it be print or broadcast or the internet media these days. But the bottom line, though, I think is the same, in that you've got to dig out the story, get all the information, and get it out there as best you can in the fairest way.
You have a big scoop coming?
Well, we're looking into what's going to happen in this marriage battle locally, D.C. We continue to follow the fight for the legislation on a number of fronts, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And there's always the hope of possibly getting called by the President of the United States at a press conference. That's not the be-all and end-all, certainly, but it would be nice, only if nothing more, to hear what he has to say about your question.
Have you ever been called on at a presidential press conference?
No. I've gone to many, but haven't had a chance to be called on at this point.
Wow. Well, Lou Chibaro Jr. was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Lou Chibaro, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.